Thank you, young folks. I appreciate that. The music today has been wonderful. Amen. I'm going to make a request to the sound booth. Can I get that wireless mic? Josh, will you run up there and get it for him? Young legs. I told myself I was not going to do it. I wasn't going to use it. Take your Bibles, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I just am afraid that I'm going to move around way too much to stick with this. And you'll be seeing a lot of this stuff going on this morning. And amen. And Brother Jeff Cruz, he gets on me when I don't, when he can't listen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, and if you found that, if you would take the time, thank you, sir, while I get wired up, to go to Luke 23, and we'll be in the latter part of the chapter when we turn there. But just if you're like me and you got a few things in your filing cabinet that you brought with you this morning in your Bible, just stick something there so when we get to turn over to Luke 23, we can go right there together. I want you to be able to see that this morning. I want to preach on three empty places that need filling. Three empty places that need filling. You say, Brother Parsons, what are they? I know what you're thinking. The first one is politicians' heads. Amen? Amen? That's what most of you went to. I figured that's what it was, but that's not it. That ain't one of the points, amen? And I know some of you are sitting here going, he's going to talk about the offering plate. That's not what we're going to preach on this morning, amen? But I do pray that you give a listen, that you'll find in the Bible, you have in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And am I on this thing now? Amen. Is this where you want it, brother? Did that hurt your ears? I've seen some headphones on. Pastor has his own way of torturing the sound man, and I have mine. Amen. Well, 1 Corinthians 15, and I will do my best to speak to the back row today and try to preach three places that need filling. You know that empty things, it's not always bad when things are empty, but you know, most of the time, it's a negative connotation when things are empty. And I know that we live in a society of people that when you see a glass half full, some people see it half full, some people see it half empty. But this morning I want to take you through some scripture and just take you through a couple things three empty places that need to be filled, amen, or needed filling. All right, if you would, go to the Lord in prayer with me. I'm going to ask Him one more time to just be with me and help me this morning. And if you would, you pray where you're at and just ask the Lord to just meet with us. It'd be such a shame if we came to a place like this and someone was in this place and they're lost and they didn't get saved. It'd be a shame if we came to a place like this and we came to worship the Lord and have Him do something inside of us and not ask Him to do it. Not ask Him and trust Him to do it. Amen. So if you pray with me this morning, let's pray. Dear Jesus, I beg You this morning again. Dear God, I yield myself the best way I know how, and I beg You to, Holy Spirit of God, to use me as Your vessel just to preach the unsearchable riches that are of Christ. Dear God, the message that You put on my heart today from Your Word, I pray that You'd help my lips to speak the things that You'd have them speak and to hold back the things that should not be said. I pray, God, today that You'd be with my pastor as he preaches, dear God, in another place, that You'd empower him and give him strength beyond his years, God. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost of God would be upon him. And today, that in this place, as if he was here, that the word would be preached the way he would. Beg You. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and look at verses 3 and 4 with me today. I want to read just a few passages for time's sake today and trying to press towards the mark this morning. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "For I delivered unto you," Paul writing to the church at Corinth, "under the inspiration of God, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, he goes through very quickly and gives us a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that if there's some things that we ought to remember as Christian, there are three places that had to be filled for you and I to be able to know that we know that we know that we're saved. And it's important. And the first one, if you're given to taking notes, that an empty place that had to be filled would be the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary. It was a place that was empty. It was a place that was going to have somebody. And even if that person, that Barabbas we know in the scripture, were to have taken that place, it would have been just like any other day, but it wasn't like any other day, was it? Can I get amen? It wasn't like any other day. And listen, it's recorded in history because the sun went dark that day. There were some differences about that day that never happened before, but that place, that cross, that needed filling wasn't for Jesus' sake, but it was for yours and mine. That place, and let me just say this as I kind of get wound up. I don't know if you understand that. I don't think that's good English, but that's usually what preachers do, all right? So it's just getting wound up, all right? The cross of Calvary is a place that Jesus suffered and died. John Wesley, he said this about the cross and even preaching about it. He said how difficult it is to be shallow enough to preach to a polite congregation about the cross of Calvary. John Wesley, not one that I would say his doctrine was perfect, but one that did know the scene of Calvary and no doubt had been taught of exactly what happened at that place. It was not a scene that we would see or we would want to put on a movie that we would want our children to watch. It's not anything that you would want somebody that was your friend to go and watch the abuse that took place for Jesus that day. It was a place, my home church, and I've said this before, where I grew up on the Eastern Shore, we call it a mountain, but it's really just a hill of dirt. And they put this hill of dirt out there and they would have like a drive-in show and they would record everyone's voices. And then we would have people from the town come in and we'd broadcast it on an FM radio and they'd listen to the story of Jesus Christ. And then they'd watch him be crucified there at Calvary and then raised on the cross. And the men would try to do their best to depict what it was like for Christ on the cross. And the cross by itself is torture just simply because someone is simply either choking to death or drowning on their own fluid and constantly in agony where they were pinned to a cross by nails in their hands and feet and constantly pressing themselves up, constantly wearing themselves out so that they could just get one more gasping breath of air. And again, even the things that I know about it, the simplicity of what I know of the cross and maybe what you know about the agony of the cross would not explain or do a tiny bit of justice exactly what Christ endured on Calvary for you and I. Can I just say today that I am glad that there is an empty place on Golgotha's Hill. Because even though that place needed filling by a Savior who died for the sins of the world, He's not there anymore. Can I tell you something else? Listen, I don't like the fact that there are places and people that still have Jesus. I don't have any problem with the use of the cross. It reminds me what had to be done because of me, because of my sins, what had to be paid for. There's nothing wrong. I know that some of you maybe do this, and I think probably you can get it at our bookstore, but the cross in my pocket. You ever had one of those? And maybe some of you have done that. Early days of my Christianity, I did that and I carried that in my pocket. When I went in my pocket for change, I would feel the cross in my pocket and I would remember my Savior and it would remind me of the days gone by when the sin that I committed and before I was saved and who I was before and that I wasn't supposed to be that person anymore, but I was saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for me on Calvary. Can I just say this? He didn't stay dead. He didn't stay there. He left Calvary. They took him down. When we go to Luke 23, if you would, turn your Bibles there with you. I want you to see the account because there's a lot of people. The problem that I have today is there's too many people, too many religions that leave him on the cross. It sickens me to go to a place not to see the cross because I realize it's a idea or a picture that it reminds me of what Christ had to do for me. But the cross today should be empty, friend, because Jesus is no longer hanging on it. He does not have to be sacrificed over and over again for the sins of many. He died once for the sins of the world, according to the scripture. Can I just tell you today that that cross today is empty, and there are others that believe and they put him up on there like he's still suffering, but he suffered for you and I. In Luke 23, it tells us about the man that took him down. And it took him to another place that's empty today. Amen? Look at Luke 23, if you would, with me, and deep in the verses. And it says now in verse 53, And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never a man before was laid. Again, he begged for the body of Jesus. If we went back to verse 52, it says, this man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never a man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Can I just say, if you'll go back with me to 1 Corinthians as you take time, just if you can just see that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe on Calvary's cross. And it was a place that needed to be filled because I was lost and undone. You were lost and undone. The Bible even uses this term that the world was lost in its sin. But then the Savior of all the world came from heaven and came and like no one else could have done, he lived a perfect life, giving us a wonderful example and filling all the Old Testament full with all the things that he did, but then continuing to fill the Old Testament prophets full. He went to the cross of Calvary and he filled all the payment that needed to be made on Calvary for your sins and for my sins. You know, no further payment needs to be made. Now, there's, you know, sometimes, and this is, let me just say this about the cross of Calvary. You're not working for your salvation. You're not working out your own salvation to the place where you're trying to work it up or trying to make sure that you keep it. You're working out your own salvation because you can see the cross and say, hey, he paid it all. All to him I owe. Do you know, I love my parents today. My parents have, I couldn't say thank you enough. Today, if my dad asked me to come over to the house, it's been a long time since my dad bought me dinner. Amen. It's been a long time since dad paid, you know, for gas in my car. It's been a long time since dad paid for a lot of things for me. But can I just say, I'm still thankful. There were about 18 years of my life that daddy paid the ticket. All right. And there was a long time that I wasn't even thankful for it. There was a lot of times I didn't say, dad, thank you for that. There were times that my dad made decisions that I was mad with my father because of the decision that he made. But today I can look back and say, thank God for the daddy that I was given. Even as his son and I was throwing a tantrum. Amen. My daddy held to the mark and paid for me. And took care of the needs that I had in my life. Listen, young people that are in the room today, can I just say this? Listen, you better be thankful for your parents. Amen. I'm thankful for my Savior today, but I'm thankful that I grew up in a home where my parents loved me enough to teach me what was right and wrong. And loved me enough to not give in when I threw a fit, but to stand their ground. And to teach me what was right and to make me do right. Amen. Amen. That's good. That should have been a good amen from the kids. Amen. And let me just say this, that this cross of Calvary, that when he's paid it all, that's something that they shouldn't just hear at the church house. That ought to be something that's said at home. That ought to be something that's preached at home. That ought to be something that's lived at home. It ought not just be here that there's standards and that there's a walk for God. It ought to be at home. The cross of Calvary, listen, think about this for you and I today. Can I just say this, that Jesus paid it all, but for you and I, there's a work to be done in this life. He filled the cross full, but how about the work that we're left to do? Not to continue our salvation like I began before, but to just to help others. You know, I'm so thankful that the person, my preacher, and I've been through this before with you, and many of you know my testimony, but can I just say I'm glad that somebody didn't get saved and sit down on me. Somebody got saved a long time ago, and then they went off to Bible college, and they got some learning, amen, and they came back to their hometown, and they gave themselves. I mean, they spent themselves in that town, and along the way, that person that spent themselves hired a youth pastor, of all things, and that youth pastor was knocking doors and won my uncle to Christ. And through him getting saved and him changing, his life changing, that trickle-down effect in my family. We began to see someone and something different in their lives. And the cross of Calvary was something that I had never heard before. I was in a lost family that never preached, never went to church, but boy, let me tell you, I remember the day that my daddy saw what the cross was for real and what Jesus had done and paid for him. A person that thought that he was going to have to try to be good or that he could never be good enough, and he found out that Jesus had already filled full the price of salvation, the cross of Calvary. But then, what hope is there? Paul would even say, and we won't take time to turn there, but if Christ is still dead, if he was just in the tomb, we just read Luke 23 and that Jesus was taken down from the cross and he was put into a borrowed tomb. And that gets me excited just being able to say that, because he didn't keep it long, did he? It wasn't a stolen tomb or a given tomb, but a borrowed tomb. Look back with me at 1 Corinthians, and he said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day." Can I just tell you today that we serve a risen Savior? Amen. Can I just get excited with you just a little bit that not only is he not on the cross of Calvary this morning, but that same Jesus that came from heaven to pay for salvation, paid for every sin of every person in the world that's ever committed. Let me tell you, I'm against this Calvinistic doctrine that Jesus paid for some and he didn't pay for others. I don't find that in the book, friend. Amen. Jesus paid for the sins of the world, and I do know and you know that there will be some that do not accept the payment of Calvary's cross, but listen, Jesus died for them anyway. He purchased salvation for every man according to the Scripture. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus saves not just because of the cross, but that he went to the tomb, and that same Jesus that died on Calvary, the Bible says that he had power, all power, and that he took, listen, that under that power, that Bible, you find it in two different places. You see Jesus, you say the Father raised him up, and Jesus is God, amen. But he said that all power is given unto me. That same Jesus rose up on the third day under his own power because he's God. Can I just tell you that same Jesus, he didn't stay dead. See, it would have been no good for you and I if Jesus had not paid the penalty of death. But he needed a borrowed place to spend a little bit of time. Amen. He needed a borrowed place that had to be filled according to the Scripture. Not a place, listen, not a place that he was going to spend a lot of time, but a place where they'd lay his body for just a few days. Can I tell you that filled place, that place needed to be filled, but not for long. Amen? Just 3 days. And he didn't stay dead. I'm excited about that. One, because there's some great hope in this believer. Because if the Bible says he's the first fruits of the resurrection, that same Jesus that came and paid on Calvary for my sins, that same Jesus rose up from the dead. And I, in like manner, have hope in the resurrection of the dead, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a believer today, listen, there were some things that needed to be filled, and Calvary had to be filled, and the tomb had to be filled, but listen, I'm so glad that he's not on the cross. And I'm so glad that he's not in the tomb. You know, people are still looking for him there. You know, people are hunting all over the place to find him. Do you know how happy an atheist would be if they found the body of Jesus? Hey, but they can keep looking, but they ain't gonna find him. Because he didn't stay dead. He rose up from the ground. Up from the grave he arose. We sing that. That's not just some song that we sing. It's the truth of the Scripture. It's the truth of reality. Can I tell you that we need some Christians that would get up and tell the world that Jesus lives, that he's not dead, that he's still alive. Listen, what is so different about what we believe and what everybody else has believed? They serve a dead Savior. They serve someone that may be, reincarnated or some kind of crazy business like that. They serve something something that, you know, just some kind of idea, but we don't serve that. We serve the God of heaven, the Son of God, who was 100% man and 100% God, and he came to earth and paid for my sin, even when I didn't deserve it, even when I wasn't lovely, even when I didn't, listen, when I could have not, listen, if he had come and offered it to me, I probably would have rejected it that day. But that same Jesus left heaven in love for you and I and for the Father in heaven and paid for my sins on Calvary. And then he let him lay his body in a tomb, just a borrowed tomb, for just a couple days because it needed filling. The Bible said he had some work to do. While his body lay still, there was work going on. He descended into the heart of the earth. Woo! Amen. But that same one, the Bible says that ascended, descended. Amen. But he came up from there with the keys to death and hell. You know, I've had some keys this week. And I don't like carrying keys. Brother Richard will tell you that. I hate it. I'm always asking everybody else for the keys around here. I hate that weight. It weighs me down. I don't need any extra weight. Amen. Woo. Amen. Glory. Don't say amen right there. Amen. So I thought, man, can you imagine what that day was like? Can you imagine those 3 days, what was going on? There was some rejoicing going on. Can I tell you that? Can you imagine what Abraham was like? I mean, he was all calm. And, you know, Luke 16, he was like, you know, you're over there and we're over here and nobody can pass between us because his work was done. The Bible said, you know, he didn't have the rest that was prepared for us. He was at rest, though. Amen. That's good preaching. The Bible says there's a better rest prepared for the saints. In our dispensation, the day and age we live, boy, listen, he's enjoying it now. But it was a different dispensation. Listen, when the cross, can you imagine those people that were down in that place, in that holding cell, that believed in Jesus and had died in, and they in anticipation, waiting for him to fill the cross full. And when he did, I can tell you there was not just rejoicing in heaven. Maybe there was sadness because they watched the Son of God die. But Abraham knew what was coming. And Abraham down there said, woo! He paid for my sin. It's all gone. They're all gone. And then all of a sudden, as the body was laid in the tomb, he saw Jesus face to face. He said, come on with me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? He said, listen, I got a little bit of work to do. Let me go over here and take the keys to death and hell. That same Jesus not only filled up the cross, but he filled the tomb full for just a few days. But then the stone was rolled away. And some of his disciples ran in. And guess what they didn't find? The body of my Savior. They didn't find it. They found a bunch of grave clothes. Glorified body with glorified clothes. Amen and amen. Amen. That same Jesus who died on the cross and filled it full, he didn't stay there. And there was a tomb that needed filling, but it was just for a time. But can I tell you today, there was another place that needed filling in me. Every believer, even though Jesus had paid for their sins, even though that Jesus had filled the tomb and paid for it and then rose again, there was an altar in heaven that needed to have eternal blood laid upon it. There was an altar in heaven that the Bible uses this term. It was not made with man's hands. He needed to pay eternally for all those that would believe. That same Jesus ascended up into his Father and went into that holy place in heaven with his own blood and made atonement for you and I on a mercy seat. This one down here that we would think was so holy that men have been digging on for centuries and are trying to find this place that was just a place that perpetuated year to year the covering of our sin. There was a mercy seat in heaven that Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God, walked in and took that blood, that holy blood, and placed it upon the mercy seat, paying for eternity. Can I just say this today? that day he purchased salvation for every man. Amen. Man, I mean, there was a process, something that needed to be filled. But even for me, the third place I'd like to speak to you about this morning was the emptiness that was in me. Do you know there was some emptiness in you? I don't know if you remember who you were before you got saved, but I was looking for something. I thought, you know, I could fill it with things. I didn't get saved. I couldn't give your testimony. Maybe you got saved then as an adult, but I remember for me as a young boy, I kept feeling like I needed things. I'd ask for a bicycle as a boy, you know. Listen, come on now. I got saved as a teenager. I didn't get all these things as a young teenager. And I remember really desiring and thinking that, I mean, it was going to fulfill everything that I was. I remember one of my aunts, my mom and dad were not rich people by any means. And I remember an aunt, she didn't have any children of her own. And she realized how much I wanted this blue bicycle. And I remember my dad, how proud he was of his sister. He had 13 brothers and sisters, and how he was that his sister had sacrificed and purchased this bike that I had wanted. She brought it to our house for my birthday. And, my birthday is like 5 days before Christmas. And so sometimes, you know, it just got mixed up. Amen. Amen. Don't do that to your kids, by the way. Anyway, so. But I thought to myself, whew, this is everything. This is everything I'll ever want. I'll never ask for one other thing again. This is all I ever needed was this blue bike. And I rode it, and it was awesome. And I rode it another day, and it was awesome. And then it was not as awesome as it was before. And then I didn't sleep with the bike anymore. It didn't go in my room anymore. I started to leave it outside in the dew. And then my mom said, "Aren't you going to ride your bike? Aren't you going to ride your bike?" Then I got older, and many of you don't know this about me, but in sixth grade, I decided that the coolest person in all the world played the saxophone. And in school band, there's nothing cool about a saxophone. I'm just going to tell you that, okay? It sounds like a foghorn, okay? You know, saxophone solos don't really happen in church. I didn't think it out, okay? And I said, that's it. I need to be a saxophone player. If I just had a saxophone, Mom and Dad, you know, that would fulfill everything that I am in my life. And they got me a saxophone. And about, you know, today, if you got me the saxophone, I could probably play it like, you know, a foghorn. Amen? Maybe do a little better than that. But can I just tell you, I wasn't fulfilled with a saxophone. You know that people in this life, they try to fill their life and be fulfilled in a spouse. They try to spend their life, if I could just get married, that'd be enough. That won't be enough, friend, because there's an empty space inside you that only God can fill. Hey, can I tell you today that, you know, if I could just get this car, I'd be happy. If I could just have this type of house. If I could just have this. If I could just have this amount of money. There'll never be enough money to fill the hole inside of you that only Jesus can fill. There'll never be a car that can fill that spot. Hey, as good a spouse as you could marry, there's never been a spouse that's been created for man that can take the place of a holy God inside of the believer. In truth, a marriage relationship can only be right once that place is filled. Hey, can I tell you today, even a home and your working relationship and everything that goes, everything down the road, none of those things can be what they could be if that place is filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen today, it's a simple sermon. Some very simple truths, but is that place filled inside of you? If you're here today, listen, this little boy that was on the mission field, about 6 years old, name was Mark. Little boy on the mission field in Costa Rica. Went with his parents to see all the great Catholic cathedrals of the past. You know, that were being built. And that he went into a place and he was saved. He knew he was on his way to heaven. And he went into a place and there was a large statue of the cross and Jesus agonizing on the cross. And he stood, and you know, it was one of those great historical monuments of their faith. And he saw that, and he looked at all over the cathedral, and then they went on to, in the same town, to a Spanish mission. And some gifted artist had depicted the body of the Lord Jesus in wax, and they put it in a glass coffin, and it was inside the Spanish mission. And over again, he saw all these depictions of the Lord Jesus that were not true. And the little boy made it home with his parents, and Mark looked at his dad and said, "Daddy, could you tell me the story again about Jesus? Today I saw Jesus on the cross, but he's not there anymore." He said, "Daddy, could you tell me about the story about how Jesus isn't in the tomb anymore? Because I saw Jesus in that box, and he's not in that box." He said, "Daddy, I need to hear the story again." Sometimes folks, even on a Sunday morning, even I, even you, we need to hear the story again. You know, we live in a world that makes him out to be dead and continues to put him on the cross. They keep trying to put him in a box. They keep trying to find him in a tomb. But he's not there. He's right here. I brought him in with me this morning. I don't know about you, but listen, I don't know if you've thought about that in a long time, but I got a little girl that she just turned double digits. Don't hold that against her. Amen. But sometimes I need her to teach me some things, because sometimes I get feeling that he's so far away. Sometimes, like the psalmist would write, "I can't find your face, Lord." Sometimes we get to the place where we don't feel the closeness that we used to. And we don't look in the old story that I've heard since I was a boy, that Jesus came to earth as the perfect, sinless Son of God by a virgin birth, miraculous birth, miracle birth. And he lived that perfect life, and he died on Calvary. But he didn't stay on the cross. He went to a borrowed tomb, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again to sit on the right hand of the Father in heaven. And I accepted him as my Savior. Simple, simple things. See, we try to make it out to be all these things and to be, you know, a 7-step program to happiness. You know, we'd be happy if we just remember what Jesus did for us. We'd be happy. The old preachers used to preach all the time. The old-timey preachers would talk about what we used to be. The greatest preachers in history never forgot what they were before they got saved. And the only thing good about me and you today is if you're saved, who you brought in this place with you. Sometimes, well, we prim and proper, and we clean this old man up, and we drag him into church, and somehow we think it's the old man that we ought to be showing off. But it's the man on the inside that ought to be showing off when they come into church. Not holy hands because the hands are clean, but because of what's holy on the inside. Hey, the natural man, we start to think that we're something. If you're here today and you're saved and you came to church, thank God for you being in this place. God told you to be here, and you are here, and you're obedient to his command. But I'm just trying to help the believers and tell the sinner that there's hope for you. If you're here and you got an empty place, all you need to do is ask Jesus and get it filled. All you got to do is walk down an aisle, understanding that your price of sin has been paid on Calvary, that even though you are bound for a place called hell, that Jesus took and paid for that on Calvary, and that if you, by faith, will accept what he did on Calvary for you, that, hey, he rose again on the third day, you believe that inside your heart, the Bible says that you will pass from death into life. It uses a term that you're born again into the family of God. If you're here and you don't know anything about that, but you want to get in on that, you want to get that empty place and you feel, boy, today is the day of salvation. And if you're here and as a believer, and somehow, just like all of us have done, maybe it just got old to you. Maybe you just need to, man, re-up. They were singing some things. Can we be revived? Can we be restored? as believers, we can. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and talk to the Lord this morning. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, would you stand to your feet? The musicians are on their way. We want to give you an opportunity to come and receive Christ if you're here and you're lost. But maybe you're here and you just feel like you're far away from the one that's inside of you. And you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and talk to that one that's on the inside and say, God, well, I love you. Thank you for reminding me of what I got in you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, is there one in the building that would raise your hand up and say, Brother Parsons, I'm not sure I'm saved. I believe I have that empty place that you preached about this morning. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up? Is there one anywhere that would slip their hand up and say, pray for me, Brother Parsons. I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there one? Would you raise it so I could see it if there's one today? All right. I'm going to pray that, and listen, if you're a believer and you're here and you say, Brother Parsons, I needed that this morning. Would you slip your hand up? I needed that this morning. Just slip it up so I can pray for you this morning. Amen. I want to pray for you. Listen, if God allow you to come forward and just listen, or maybe you stay in your seat, but whatever God leads you to do that you'd speak to him, I want to pray for you this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll begin the invitation. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your son dying on Calvary and paying for my sin and the sin of the world. I pray, God, that you be with these believers that raised their hand and said that they needed that this morning. I pray that you'd encourage them, God. I pray that today they'd go home and they'd feel your love and that empty place that they used to have, that reminder that they're saved and that they're on their way to heaven. I pray you'd encourage them. I pray if they need to come forward that they'd come and do business with you. But God, I pray for the one. I didn't see any hands, but if there's one in this place that does not know Christ as Savior, I beg you today that they'd step out and walk the aisle and receive Christ as their Savior. I pray you'd do the work, Holy Spirit of God, that I cannot do. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Burke.